The New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 through 25. If you have not yet done so, then please stop the video and read the chapter in your Bible. The outline of this chapter is as follows. First, we belong to a new master, verses 1 through 6. Secondly, law shows us our sins, 7 through 12. And thirdly, the Lord Jesus rescues us, verses 13 through 25. The outline of the first seven verses. 1. We belong to a new master. Death frees from legal bondage. We belong to Christ who died and was raised. Law aroused sinful passions leading to death. And we are freed from law and enslaved to God's Spirit. Regarding law, we read in Romans chapter 7, New Revised Standard Version, Updated Edition, verse 1. Or do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during that person's lifetime? To know here applies particularly to Jews and proselytes who read the scriptures. The law then is the Tanakh or the Torah, the Old Testament. And the law is binding. Literally, it's a verb. It lords it over us. Now, what does this have to do with marriage? Verse 2. Thus, a married woman is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, then she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Married, the Greek term is hupandros, literally, under a man's authority, and she is bound. In the day, she had few legal grounds for divorce. What does this have to do with death? Verse 3. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she belongs to another man whilst her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, then she is free from that law, and if she belongs to another man, she is not an adulteress. Well, she belongs to a man. In the Greek, this is the dative case of a noun. In other words, you may use any English preposition. If it's a second class condition, speaking of a hypothetical, and now she is free, that is, the law about marriage no longer applies to her. What does this have to do with bearing fruit? 4. In the same way, my brothers and sisters, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. To die to law, again, Greek dative case, we might say regarding the law, and the body of Christ, here is a metaphor of his physical death, and the bearing of fruit, another metaphor of performing life-giving deeds. There are also poisonous fruit. 5. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Our flesh, meaning who we were before we were born again, passions include both mental, physical, emotional, and social. To bear fruit is a metaphor to earn a reward or wages. Fruit for death, again, a dative case, resulting in death. Paul draws a contrast between life in the Spirit and life controlled by the letter of the law. 6. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we are enslaved in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the written code. Yes, discharged, an aorist tense, meaning both in the past and in the present. Dead, literally having died. Enslaved to the Spirit, that is, we were not freed just to run wild. And the newness of the Spirit in contrast with a written legal code. An outline for the second section of the book. 2. Law shows us our sins. Law reveals sin, defiling our conscience. Law revives sin, leading to death. Law remains holy, just, and good. But law causes sin to become more sinful. What do you feel when you see this picture? Beautiful homes and fancy cars. That's covetousness. 7. What then are we to say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." It is better to know these things than to die in ignorance. The law here, "You shall not covet," comes from the Ten Commandments. To covet, then, is to desire that which is forbidden or belongs to another. If you must, review the Ten Commandments, then continue. Verse 8, but sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. Sin had an opportunity. It was always there. It was always a potential. Sin is my own perverse desires, which produce more covetousness. Again, the aorist tense, meaning both the past and the present. Law implies specific commandments. Sin lies dead. It can do nothing. 9. I was once alive from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. Paul was once alive apart from the law, that is, as a child who had not yet learned God's commandments. So, he was alive, that is, he was born spiritually alive. We are not born spiritually dead, as some theologies say. This was once, that is, before he was born again. The law came, that is, he learned God's laws, and though the law had promised to give life to those who obey it, Paul did not do so, any more than you or I. Sin was ready to kill. 11. For sin, seizing an opportunity in the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So that the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. Opportunity, as we just read in verse 8, sin deceived me. There is some truth in the phrase, the devil made me do it. And what did it do? It killed Paul. This is how we all died spiritually. But since the law is good, we ought to learn God's laws. 13. Did what is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin that was working death in me through what is good, in order that it might be shown to be sin, so that through the commandment sin might become sinful beyond measure. Sin is shown to be what it is. How else could we know? And sinful both in fact and in effect. Outline of the third section, the Lord Jesus rescues us, includes these points. Law is good, but we are slaves to sin. We recognize good, but we are unable to do it. We need a strong Savior. So, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all know what is in us. 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. Now, this is what I do, that is, my natural self aside from Christ. And what I do, all the verbs in these verses are in the Greek present tense, emphasizing their current reality. Though I know what to do, I often fail. Verse 17, but in fact it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that the good does not dwell within me, that is, in my flesh, my natural self, for the desire to do the good lies close at hand, but not the ability. Yes, sin dwells in us. Again, all the verbs in these verses are in the Greek present tense, emphasizing their current reality. And this sin is in my flesh, that is, my natural self, apart from Christ. Ability, in the Greek, is a verb, to do, again, in the present tense. Does this couch potato know what to do? For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. In verse 19, the verb to do, poieo, is to do anything in the most general sense. The term evil is the general Greek word for anything bad in the most general sense. Likewise, the verb to want is to want anything. In verse 20, Paul uses a more exact verb to do, which means to practice something habitually. Again, it is sin dwelling within me in the present tense, continually. Even though a committed Christian, I often do not do what I want to do, and so I need help. What makes the difference between doing the good and doing the bad? 21. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inmost self that knows Christ, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. The law of God, we understand to be the written legal code, whereas the law of sin is not written, it is my innate, inner, natural impulses. So, we need a Savior, a Superman. Verse 24, wretched person that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind I am enslaved to the law of God, but with my flesh I am enslaved to the law of sin. He will rescue us. The rescue will be described in Romans chapter 8. Enslaved, again, the present tense verb. I so often serve my flesh. For next time, please read Romans chapter 8 and visit our website at http://romans.forum, F-O-R-U-M.